Despite to Shus Tzibor, I would like to share some insights from Sefer Koheles, which we'll be reading this Shabbos, Rez Hashem. Firstly, I'd like to discuss why it is where we read Koheles. Secondly, I'd like to discuss certain themes from Koheles. And then afterward, I would like to go through several psukim to get some divrei chizuk and get some insights into Avodas Hashem. Now, Koheles is actually a very difficult sefer, one of the most difficult svarim in Tanakh. In fact, even the name, Ecclesiastes, sounds like some sort of medical condition. But it's a very, very difficult sefer, to the extent that there are stiras back and forth in the psukim. Chazal give various explanations to resolve these stiras. But as a whole, why do we read this sefer on Sukkos? So the number of reasons brought down. The Rakeach, interestingly enough, connected to this time of our year, post-Shemitah, so Rakeach brings down that since Shlomo Melech, since he said these Dvarim in the Shnas HaShemitah, at the time of Hakel, so Shlomo Melech said Koheles, and then he wrote it down in a Sefer Miuchad, and that's the name Koheles. The name Koheles is a gathering. Rashi is a gathering of information that he gathered into himself. But later on we find the term Koheles used not as the person, but rather as the Neshama has gathered this information. But he's gathered all this information, all these divrei Musar for us, and he did this exactly at this time of the Shemitah cycle. It's very apropos. That's the first explanation. Another explanation brought down is the Mishnah Berurah on Hilchos Pesach. In Simin Tov Tzadi, he says, because it says in the Pasuk in Koheles, L'simcha mazu oisa. What does Simcha do? And it's a time of Zman Simcha Seinu, and therefore it's appropriate. Now, what is the understanding of this Mishnah Berurah? We bring a Pasuk that seems to be criticizing the Simcha. Simcha mazu oisa. So there are other psukim which he could have brought. B'shabachti ani es simcha. The pasuk says in Koheles, the Kodesh Baruch Hu mishabach simcha. That the Shlomo Melech, the Ruach Kodesh is mishabach simcha. But he brings a pasuk over here which criticizes simcha. So the question is, why is there a critique on simcha over here? What's the connection between that and Zman Simcha Seinu? The chayra, the simple explanation is that Mitoich v'simcha that one has during this time of year, Zman Simcha Seinu, there is a concern that mitoich the simcha one might get carried away. And we have a number of halachas which reflect this. There is a halacha in the end of Taf Kuf Chav Tes Hilchos Simchas Yontif, several halachas. In Sif Gimel it says, Adam oichel v'shoyse v'sameach v'regel v'lo yimshach v'bosu v'yayin v'schoik v'kalas roish. The feast is according to Rambam. The feast ain't schoik v'kalas roish simcha. El holus v'sichlos. Lo mistabin al holus v'simchos. Al sichlos el al simcha. Sheyesh lo avodas hayotzer. The real simcha that we're supposed to have is the simcha of Avodas Hashem. And therefore there's a concern that b'toich the simcha of the yomtov, we might actually lose the whole point of the yomtov. As another halakha following this, chayavim bezdin l'hamid shoytin v'regolim, shiyu shoytin machavsin b'ganos, u'pardesin al narashal iskamsu sham lechov lishtos anashim anashim yavou v'di avayro. So b'toich the simcha of the yomtov, people might get carried away and do things which are inappropriate, and therefore we have to do things to sort of curb that simcha so it shouldn't get carried away. And in fact, that's what we have the halakha to b'chav afterwards, to mechaper, in case we did get caught up too much in the simcha in a way which was inappropriate. We find the same thing by Eov. In the first parak of Sefer Eov, over there it says that Eov, his sons and daughters would get together and they would have parties in their home, and Eov used to bring a korban each time to mechaper that just in case, even though he was a tzaddik, and maybe assumingly his children were tzaddikim, but nonetheless, in case they were mahaher, some inappropriate thoughts, so therefore he would bring oilis to be mechaper. So you see there's this concern that the simcha might get carried away. We find the Gemara says in Brachos, interestingly enough, the Gemara says in Brachos, the beginning of Perek Ein Din, that Mar Bereid Ravina, there was a simcha chasen which he made for his son. And in the chasen which he made for his son, he saw that the Rabbanim got a little carried away in their simcha, and he broke a kais which was worth 400 zuz. Now, where did he get this? To shatter the simcha, to calm things down a little bit. Now, it's interesting enough that it wasn't just enough to give him a shmooze. He had to do something dramatic. But where did he get this from? So on the same Gemara over there, it says that at his own chasana, there was Rav Hamnuna Zute, and the Rabbanan said to him, sing a song for us. So he sang for them, Vayelon demisman, Vayelon demisman, woe unto us that we're going to die, woe unto us that are going to die. I guess that was the last chasana that he sang for. So he said, so what should we respond to that? Like, what's the chorus? So they said, hey mitzvah, hey Torah, hey mitzvah, the Mangalon, where is the Torah, the mitzvahs that are going to protect us? So again, every time there's a simcha, there's a concern. So therefore, we read Kehelet on Dafkan Zman Simcha Seinu, that the simcha should be a simcha sayoyser, simcha sayoyser, and not a simcha where we use all these tools, we use the basa, we use the yayin, we use all these different things to get us in a happier mood, but not one where we're going to lose ourselves and not focus on things that we should be focusing on. And Mishnah Berurah and Hilchos Yontov over there says a very interesting thing. He says that Chasidim Anshei Maisa, what they do is as they're having the simcha, they're moedit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the simcha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them. So that means that aside from the avodah of the simchas yomtov, this is the etzem fact that I now receive the simcha from the Rav Yerushalayim, I should be moedit to him that taka, wow, this yayin tasted good, that this the music was enjoyable, that the fact that it was a geshmak time with the family together, that I should be moedit in my mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for giving me these opportunities. There's another explanation. There's another explanation why we would read Koheles on Dafkan Zman Simcha Seinu. So I saw a fascinating. I saw Michtam Eliyahu quoted. The Michtam Eliyahu says that the thing which is mafrid ost from the Rabbeinu Shalom. He gives one example of a Zara. And he said, that which is mafrid us from each other is when a person's takes is competition. It says, interesting, by Yom Kippur, or like Malachi Asharis, there's peace between us, it's a yom she'ein by tachrus, she'ein by sino. He says that when you're taking from each other, when there's competition, that's what causes sino. The Chofetz Chaim has a sefer called Am Yisrael, small kuntras. And in this sefer, he goes through different reasons why a person, why is it sinas chinam. All those reasons that he brings have to do with kinah. There's competition. He's stealing covet from me, or he's stealing money from me, or he's in some sort of competition. So therefore, a person that brings to sinas chinam. And he said, therefore, the sukkah is a person goes into galus. We say that the sukkah is supposed to be mechaper. If we need to go into galus, the sukkah should be the galus. So he says, how is the sukkah? How is galus mechaper? So he says, the galus is mechaper because when a person feels that they don't have anything, I'm just wandering around, nothing is mine, nothing is kavua over here. I'm just going from place to place, and therefore I can't say, this is mine, this I can hold on to, this is going to be, this is going to last. When a person has that feeling, so there's no more of a competition anymore, because it's not mine, you're not taking anything from me, it's not mine. That is what causes a person to lose that sinas chinam, and that is what he says the sukkah is there to bring that kapara of the galus. Now you could shtel too, and maybe because the sukkah is taken from solus garan the yakev, it's taken from these small things which are nothing. And in fact, maybe that's the reason why we read Koheles on sukkahs, because Koheles drives into us that nothing is here. It's havel havolim. It's nothing. So if it's nothing, so you're not holding on to anything. If you're not holding on to anything, in that case, it's not mine, and therefore, you're not taking anything away from me. If you're not taking anything away from me, and there's no competition over here, so that gufa is what helps in terms of kapara, and more than that, the pasuk says in Mishlei that taivas mafrids people. When a person is running after their own thing, that separates me from you. I'm not interested in you, I'm interested in me. But as soon as I'm letting go of that taiva, as soon as there's nothing for me to hold on to, in that case, there's room for other people. And there's room for other people, there's room for that simcha meshutefes between us. So maybe the hakuf of the fact that I don't feel there's something which is mine over here, and I'm not running after this, I'm not focused on me, what's mine, now I have room for other people, and room for that simcha that I can really truly have, and it's mine simcha seinu. And that also connects to the fact that Kosh Baruch Hu says, Yishim Yisameach, Aniyim Yisameach, Yisrael Yisameach, Amonu, Yisrael Yisrael. There's other people, not just you. And that kufa, it's not just a separate halacha Kosh Baruch Hu wants to see Yisameach other people, but as I do that, that will, that itself brings a riboy of simcha both for me and for us as a whole. That's maybe why we read Kohelas. Now on to the Ramban wrote a number of drushas. One of the drushas that the Ramban wrote is a drush on Kohelas. And the Ramban over there explains, he gives three general themes of Sefer Kohelas. I'm just going to say them very quickly, and hopefully as you see on Shabbos, if you'll take note of them, maybe you'll notice these themes throughout the Megillah. The three simple themes are, the first one is that there is nothing in this world which is going, the physical world is going to last. Everything eventually is going to disappear. That's the first. All the physicality eventually is going to fall apart. Havel havalim. He says the hevel is lashon the hevel piv. And if you blow into the, let's say, the cold day, you breathe, what is hevel? How come he doesn't use another expression? He says hevel is that when you breathe outside and you see that vapor and it just dissipates very quickly, he says that's what the physical world is. The physical world eventually just falls apart. That's the first theme throughout the Megillah. And therefore, the second theme throughout the Megillah is, that's not what you should be investing in. The Neshama, which is something which is everlasting, that is the point that is what we're supposed to be investing in. The Hei Torah, Hei Mitzvos, where is that thing? And that connects to that Gemara over there. That violent Mishkan, there's nothing left in this world, so what do we have? Hey Mitzvos, Hei Torah, Hei Mitzvos, those are the things that we should be investing in. Those are the things that are give us the everlasting existence. And the third thing he says, the third theme is that we have a whole sefer of Eov. But there's a third theme he says is that the concept of Tzadik Barali. And that is something that you see throughout the Megillah mentioned again and again. It's a Mikra Akad V'Kulon. You see that there's a Tzadik, and Rasha, a Tahar, and a Tameh, a person who's not here with the Shavua, a person who's not Zohar with the Shavua, and the same thing happens to all of them. They all die in the end. It goes on, the Pasuk says, and it's a very scary idea because as the Pasuk itself says in Kohelas, that when a person sees that there seems to be injustice in the world, it's not just the fact that they have a misunderstanding of the world, misunderstanding of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and there's a certain fear involved, but it throws up the whole of Odes Hashem. Because if a person might think, okay, it's all about this world, so in that case, I see that there's no point. There's no point, because at the end of the day, look, even the biggest tzaddikim, look what happens to them, they suffer also. So what am I investing for? So simple explanation is stuff we could just answer. That there's an Olam Haba. And that's what you should be investing in. That's the connection. Incidentally, the Ramban over here in his drasha, also in Sefer Eov, and also in Shar Gemul, says that the real answer to Tzadik Ralo is Gugulim, but that's beyond the point right now. But these are the three major themes throughout the Megillah. Now I want to talk about some of the Dibrei Chizuk, Dibrei Musa that we could take from the Megillah. So the Megillah opens up, Havel Havolim Amar Koheles, the second Pasuk, Havel Havolim HaKol Havel. Now what does it mean, Havel Havolim? So Rashi explains, Havel Havolim means that Havel of Havolim, the Tachlis HaHevel, it's mamish garnished, it's zero. Havel Havolim, it's totally nothing. That's the meaning of Havel Havolim. The Ramban in his drasha says that's not what the word means. The word Havel is not a smichus to the word Havolim, to say Havel of Havolim. The Ramban says it's a tzivui. Havel Havolim means that I'm supposed to take notice that this is Hevel. I'm supposed to point out to myself, I should notice that this is Hevel. I should be telling myself, I should be noticing this itself is Hevel. That's Hevel, that's Hevel. That's what the Pasuk is telling us. It's a tzivut to us. That we have to notice that this world is Hevel. Now it's interesting that the Pasuk starts off opening up Havel Havolim. And the last Tzukim, the Megillah, in Perek Beis, it says again, Havel Havolim, Amar HaKohelet HaKol Havel. And the last Pasuk says, last two Tzukim, Soif Devar HaKol Nishmas HaLakim Yirah, Ves Mitzvah Sav Shemor Kizek HaLa Adam. that Yiras Shemayim and Shmiras HaMitzvahs, that's the soaked over. Kizek Kol Adam. Now, the question is, what is the relationship between this Hevel and this Yiras Shemayim? So, there's an interesting Mesilas Yesharim. The Mesilas Yesharim says, it is Akdama. He says, Eich Nitna, he's talking about Yira, in Lomis Takalnu, in Lomis Takalnu, Velo Yanu, Mahia Yira, Mitis Manafel. If we don't analyze what is the true Yira, Yiras Romimus, what are its branches, Eich Nitna Isa, how do we acquire it? There's a hevel. There's a hevel in the world, and that hevel in the world is a contradiction to Yiras Shamayim. When I'm looking, if I get involved in the hevel of the world, I forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I forget about Yiras Shamayim. I want to tell you to an interesting pasuk. It's a pasuk that maybe you've all heard before, but the Al-Sheikh has a completely different take on this pasuk. The pasuk says in Mishlei, that Kamaim upon him King Leva Adam Al Adam. That what he means when you look in the water you see reflection, so King Leva Adam Al Adam. And the simple explanation that pasuk is that by Bashi and the Tzudas over there, that has to do with its reciprocal relationship. The way I am with other people, the way they are with me, maybe it seems to the extent of the way I feel with other people, they'll feel the same way about me, and vice versa. That's the way we all understand it. The Al-Sheikh comes along, he says an unbelievable chiddush. He says like this. It says that when you look in the water, you see a reflection. You see a reflection yourself. It looks like there's a person there. It looks like there's something real over there. To the extent that you might want to join in and connect to that person in the water over there. You see, when you do, you endanger your life. There's an image over there. And it's not real. And you think it's real. And if you jump into it, you'll endanger your life. Kemayim hapanim lapanim. Just like the water shows an image to the person. Kain Leiv HaAdam, he says it's something which is a Leiv HaLokim and Leiv HaAdam. Leiv HaLokim is the Yitzhah Toiv, Leiv HaAdam, he says, the Yitzhah Hara. The Yitzhah Hara creates imagery. It creates a virtual world. And it says, look, there's something over here. There's imagery over here. There's something exciting over here. There's something enticing over here. Come inside. And when you do, you endanger your life. That's the Kamayim upon him, King Leiv HaAdam HaAdam. There's a Hevel. There's a Hevel in the world. We look around us and we see this all kinds of things which seem to be very exciting. But all that hevel is just there which endangers our life. And maybe you can even, I don't think it's Al-Pidrush, but I think it's Emes. We have the Gemara in Baba Kama tells us there's a hevel which can kill a person, or a hevel which can kill an animal. But there's a hevel at the bottom of the board. There's this type of air which is dangerous, this putrid air. This hevel is something which destroys us. A person jumps into that water, a person jumps into that hevel and says, there's something yishmak over here, there's something exciting over here. And they don't realize that's gufa what pulls them out of Chuchayim. And that gufa what pulls them out of the Yerushamayim. That pulls them out of their connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's one idea. There's another pasuk that tells us, in Perek Yud, pasuk Dalet, the pasuk says, Im ruach ha-mo'ishel ta'ale alecha. The pasuk says that if the Moishel, if the ruler rises upon you, do not abandon your place. The marpe over here, the word is spelled with aleph. It sounds like Russian refuah. And there is a refuah for the chatoyim gedoylim. Rashi explains it means as follows. Im ruach ha-Moishel, the Moshe over here is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If the Rabbeinu Shalom gives you a Midas Hadin, Mikoyim Chal Tanach, Midasra HaToyva Al Tanach Loyer Mayo El Tzimkasi Li. Ki Marpe Dituke Hadin, V'yusur HaBoran Alecha Marpe Yilu Avanasecha, V'yaneach Lecha HaToyim Gidoylem. Sometimes a person has a situation where a person is, let's say, right now we're all holding after Yom Kippur, and obviously we're all trying to be mischazik after Yom Kippur. It's not just for the sake of, you know, survival, but trying to live in a different ramah. And then all of a sudden, a person tries to be mitzvahik in something, and then pizza, imagine mitzvahik in something, now all of a sudden they start to get yisurin, chas v'shalom. Sometimes a person can feel like, I don't understand. Before I was doing this, I was okay. But all of a sudden, I'm being tactic, and now, pitaum, I'm starting to, things are going wrong. Mayo, leave it to Kasi. And the pasuk is telling us, no, don't abandon your place, because that goof, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's now, the Moshe, who's Tal Echa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is now being metaktik with you more, you should know that's a marpa, that's Tirin Mechapi the Averis. That's what Rashi says. Simple explanation of this pasuk, very important explanation of this pasuk. There's another explanation of the pasuk over here. First of all, there's an explanation of the Targum. The Targum tells us, Imrucha de Yitzra Bisha Masalbach, if the Yitzahara rules over you, Umizkaber Lemistakalach, and to discover to rise upon you, Asrach Tov de Haves de Noeg Vemekam Bey, Lo Tishmach. Don't abandon the good things that you are doing. Arum Piskome Araisis Beriyo Osaba Alma. Because the Torah is a refuah. The Mishpach and the Mishim min Kodam Hashem Chayvim Aravim. The Torah is something which is a refuah for us. So Dafka, when the Yitzhahara is rising, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, right? In Pagab HaCham Nuvah Zed Meshchele Beis HaMedrash. When the Yitzhahara rises upon us, it's Dafka then that the more we're learning Torah and not getting caught up in the Yitzhahara, get caught up more in the Torah, that Torah is a refuah for us. There's another understanding over here. I'm reading from you, from Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, Zatzal, B'Shem the Briskerov. He says like this, that Briskerov explained that the Ruach HaMoshel is the Yitzhahara, wanting machti a person. Mekom chaltana, hakavona shlo tome de me'achin shirosh ha'oiz mitzvah tofen ha'sa b'fonov. If a person, the Rambam says, that if a person, the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, that before a person does Tshuva, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu is tired of the person's mitzvah. The Kodesh Baruch Hu rips up the person's mitzvah. So, I feel like, in that case, I've got nothing. He says, "Then king, mitzvah slamily. What's the point of doing any of these mitzvahs? Me'ach sheinu miskamu mefoni yisbarach. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not going to set up mitzvahs anyway. What's the point of it?" He says, "Al kinar kimar peyaneach hatoyim gedolim. Hanu sheyashu b'tshuva mimaisav aroyim. V'az choyzim miskamu kol ha-mitzvah she'osa." It's true. At the time, maybe my mitzvahs are ripped up, but they're not gone. They're still there. And when a person does tshuva, Rabbi Yehuda writes in Shari Tshuva, the be'ez that tshuva is chaper ha'avoinos lis oiris chus ha'mitzvah v'yoyer neira achar shelo ve'igia oira l'fnei tshuva. When a person does tshuva, they reignite all the mitzvahs they've done. So right now, as we're standing after Yom Kippur, this is a time when we've done tshuva, and we're still doing tshuva now, me'ava. When a person does averus, they shouldn't feel like, what's the point now? My mitzvahs are worth nothing. Adarava, when a person does tshuva, they reignite all those mitzvahs are accepted by Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam writes that that's the time when, now these days, you know, we had Dirsha Hashem Himotzai, and there was a time when Kadosh Baruch Hu was close to us, Machmas Isman. Because of Isman, Kadosh Baruch Hu was close to us. However, there's a different closeness now we have. And that is, as the Rambam says, after a person does tshuva, Kodesh Baruch Hu opens his arms up to the person, and he looks forward to his mitzvahs, and he looks forward to his tefillah. So, Adarabba, now is the time we should have tremendous chizuk in our tefillahs, and tremendous chizuk in our mitzvahs. Because, not because of the time of Yirsha Hashem Yimotza, which is gone, but rather because this is the time Kodesh Baruch Hu says, now you're about tshuva, and now I'm looking forward to your mitzvahs, now I'm looking forward to your tefillahs. There's the one last pasuk I want to leave off with. It's a big yisoid. The pasuk says, "Al tirsha harbe." Don't sin too much. The alti sacha lama tamas pleitecha, and don't be a fool lest you die before your time. What does it mean, "Al tirsha harbe"? Don't sin too much. A little bit of sin is okay, not too much. So Rashi makes it more difficult because Rashi said, "Afilu rishat demach al tosav laharshia." If you sin a little bit, don't continue. So what's the idea over here? It's a very simple idea, and that is the idea called Yeyush. Yeyush, despair, is one of the biggest obstructions of Avodas Hashem. When a person feels like, I've done a chait, I've done whatever it is, if you only know what I've done, then you wouldn't say that. A person has to realize that under all circumstances, the pasuk is telling us, Al tirsha harbe, afilu rishat ma'at, even if you did a little bit, don't do worse. First of all, mitzad, the Rambam writes in the Geras Hashmad, he says that Yerubim ben Nevat, aside from all the avodas zarah that he's done, he's also going to have to pay for not making an Erev Tavshilin. So even though the one, a bigger avera is okimli the rabbi minayit, that a bigger avera cancels out a smaller avera. If a person's done something wrong, they shouldn't feel to themselves, okay, in that case, I can just do whatever I want right now. Adirabu, when a person has done something wrong, now is the time to misnatik and to teshuva for it. Not to feel like all is lost. I want to just end off with an interesting line, which maybe is now as Nagir, as about to daven Ma'ariv. But the Gra writes that if the Yitzhahara, I don't remember exactly which bracha he says it in, if the Yitzhahara gets you in the bracha Hashiveinu, then you should get him in the bracha Slachmanu. And if he gets you in the bracha Reina, you should get him in the bracha Rafainu. Now, why does he give two examples? Why does he give two examples? To say, if the Yitzhahara chaps you the first time, don't give up, and Mishnatik, and yet you get him the second bracha. I think he's telling us a very deep idea, and that is, after a person's Mishnatik, and they fall again, now they're going to say, oh, you see, I tried, it didn't work. So therefore he's saying, no, you, if he beats you in the first bracha, so you'll get him in the second bracha. But if he beats you in the third bracha, don't say, you see, I tried, and what did I gain? Adirabha, get up again and beat him in the fourth bracha. So I think it's a very big yesod for us, especially as we're right after in Kippur, we're not necessarily always living up to the level we were striving for in the Iwa. But a person shouldn't feel like, I had an afila after in Kippur, so forget, I'm the same person I was last year. Adirabha, if a person has an afila, now is the time to get up, to have that tshuva me'ava, we should be zoiche, so a good chitul for all of us.